Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. I will post a link to the Lyons Share website where you can follow along with Dana and some of his trading strategies. Dana, we're going to start off with the precious metals because, quite frankly, those are moving. They have been moving for the last couple months, but just in the last day, really, about 24 hours, they have taken off again. Gold on the futures market is up over $50. Silver is up over a dollar, almost at $23 still. Both of those trading near the highs of the day. A lot of this was on the back of, I guess, Jerome Powell's comments yesterday. But again, it's a continuation of a pretty steep upsloping trend, at least short term, for the metals. Dana, your takeaway from this aggressive move higher in gold and silver?
Yeah, I think you hit some of the key points. On the one hand, it's continuing a trend that we've seen over the last, call it 2-3 months, where we've trying to establish a bottom potentially in the metals. But the other, on the flip side is, we're seeing a huge move in the last 24 hours, you know. And while I hate to ascribe moves to certain news events, obviously it's tied to, you know, Powell's speech yesterday and the reaction afterwards. So the big spike in precious metals complex is certainly tied to that. And I would be, as we always are, hesitant to chase any sort of a FOMO rally like that and get too excited in the immediate term. Would not be surprised to see the rug get pulled out just maybe short term, just because that's typically what happens after news events. You get the sharp move and then it fades. But it is a continuation, like you said, of the trend that we've been seeing of late. So we are bullish on the precious metals complex in the intermediate term. We do think there is much more upside to come. So right now, would I be buying at these levels right here after, 2-3 huge up days in a row? No, but I'd certainly be looking to buy the dips from here. And like I said, we have, especially after the rough year that we've had, and a couple years, in fact, I think there's certainly plenty of room to go on the upside. And I will say, in the case of silver, as opposed to gold necessarily, silver has made some key technical progress over the last day or two, which, as I said, I'm hesitant to chase any prices, but there have been some positive technical developments in the last couple of days that would make me more likely to jump on board silver right in here and silver miners rather than gold miners, although we are bullish again on the entire complex in the intermediate term.
I think that's a cogent comment on silver. A lot of people wanted to see it get above 19, and then they wanted to see it with a 20 handle. They wanted to see it above that 21.41 resistance level, and then 22 was a big line in the sand. Well, it's near 23 today, so it has crossed a lot of resistance. I guess a lot of the questions we're getting, I'm getting emails about this, Dana, are, do you think that the lows are in for gold and silver? Gold was just a month ago, November 4th, intraday at 16.18. Today it's at 18.18, $200 higher. Does right. that give you a signal, or when you look at your technicals, Dana, are you thinking that we've seen the low in these metals now?
I think you could play it as though we've seen the low. I mean, if you're waiting for, if you're looking for lower prices than we saw, in October, November, beginning of November, there's a chance you won't see it. You know, I'm not saying go out and chase prices right here after the huge spike that we've seen. But on the flip side, if you're waiting for lows below those lows that we saw in the last, last month and the initial move down in September, you could be waiting a long time. So I would play it. We are, playing it with a bullish bias. And as such, I would be playing it as the bottom is in. And we are in an uptrend. So I'd be buying the dips, not necessarily waiting for new lows or anything like that. So assume that the lows are in. Certainly we'll get stopped out if they are not. in and we start to break down, certainly we'll get stopped out before we see those new lows again. But I would play it assuming that the lows are in, and we would certainly be more apt to buying the dips here than looking for serious downside.
So before we started recording here, Dana, we were talking about the moves in the metals and also tying it into the bigger picture, where I think I made the comment, well, you know, these are nice moves. It still has been a pretty tough year for investors broadly. And then you said, well, it's been kind of a tough decade for precious metals investors. What does that mean for future moves? Because it has been such a grinding decade here for precious metals, when we've seen other sectors and the broad averages scream higher, go through a very long bull market. Does that mean that the rubber band is actually quite tight here, that it could lead to a bigger shoot higher, or does that mean there's more digestion time needed?
Right. Well, a couple things. You know, you look back, and we trade ETFs for our clients. Looking back in GLD, for example, and similar with the price of gold, but we topped out in 2011, right? And then we've had a kind of a digestion over the decade since, with that high in 2020, another dip down in a similar high in 2022 earlier this year. So forming almost kind of a cup and handle type of pattern. So from that perspective, I don't think we need a ton more digestion before, you know, breaking out. I'm not saying we're on the verge of a breakout in a new up leg to new all-time highs, but I think we've digested enough. I think a couple of years of digestion from that move, basically 2016 or 18 into the highs of 2020, I think the last few years have seen enough digestion of that bull move that we're certainly stored up enough fuel, enough potential energy here for a breakout and a new up leg. Again, I don't know if that's going to occur immediately, but certainly potential there. We've digested enough for that. The other point is, you know what? It's a good reminder not to have a perma view on any market. You know, you can't be a perma bear, a perma bull on any market. You can have a long-term thesis, sure, like we do on many of the markets, especially the equity market, but you can't let necessarily that direct your investment or your trading strategies. For example, you know, we've, because of the excesses built up in the economy and the stock market in recent years, we really have a very bearish view of the equity market and of the economy in the long run, you know, over the next decade or so. That doesn't mean we're always, you know, out of the market or we're always short the market. In fact, we've got a substantial long position on right now, because it's important to remember markets go both up and down. You know, nothing goes in a straight line. So if it's okay to have that long-term view, even if it's grounded in evidence, which we believe our bearish view is, but if we were short or out of the market, you know, for the last 5-10 years, you know, we would have no clients left. So you have to have an open mind, and you have to have some objective criteria for directing your investment strategy other than just, you know, that long-term thesis or a long-term narrative.
Some very cogent points there, Dana, because markets do move in both directions, and within longer-term trends, there's still counter-trend rallies and counter-trend moves. But we could easily take the converse of the last question and say, you know, the general markets had a really great last decade, you know, really from the great financial crisis, 2008, and starting in 2009 on up through 2021, investors really only knew a one-way market for the most part. There were some corrections along the way, but it got to the point of irrational exuberance by the end of 2021, whether it was the meme stocks, the growth stocks, the stay-at-home stocks, the crypto space, and everything has rolled over hard over the last year. But I still see, Dana, a lot of traders saying on every time there's a mini rally, hey, the bull market's back on, because the psychology around trading is that there's only one way this thing can go, and it's up. When you look at the bear market, when you look at the bear market thesis, maybe over the medium to longer term, do you still think that there's a longer period of digestion that needs to happen in the general equity markets.
Yeah, so if you're talking about like a secular bear market, which we think is a good potential to occur here, then, you know, we've not even really even started the secular bear market. You know, we're not even 12 months into a bear market since we topped out about the beginning of the year. You look historically, and most secular bear markets tend to be about the same duration of the previous, you know, bull market. So if that's the case, if you want to say the bull market started in 2013 when we broke to new highs, for example, you know, that's about almost 10 years. That's 9 years of a bull market. Or if you want to start it at the bottom in 2009, you know, we were talking about 13 years. So if you're talking just conservatively, that leaves, you know, the better portion of a decade left for a secular bear market. And once again, it doesn't mean, like you, to your point, doesn't mean we go straight down for a decade. It doesn't mean we just go straight down for like the next 2 or 5 years. You know, there's going to be wide swings up and down. But generally, how a secular bear market unfolds is you have huge drops and then you have huge rallies. But over a long extended period of time, you have basically no progress made. For example, from 1929 to 1954. You went sideways, or from 1966 to 1982, there was no progress. So if you look at it in that lens, you know, we could go sideways to lower for, you know, the better part of a decade, not straight down. And that honestly would not shock us. And what needs to be done, the reason for our bearish view is that all of those back, what we call background indicators, all the market metrics and economic metrics tied to, you know, market like valuations or market activity, investor dollars in the market, percentage of household investments, various economic indicators as well, household debt or government debt. Any number of these metrics are just either at historic highs or they're just off of historic highs that were made, you know, earlier this year. So the reason that market cycle on a secular basis is to correct, you know, those excesses that are built up on the upside. And the particular problem with our current cycle, and I've talked about this in the past, is that we hit historic highs in 2000. And generally, that takes a lot longer for those excesses to get worked off than what happened. 2009, we saw pretty much unprecedented central bank intervention. I think it prevented the natural correction in those excesses from occurring. So we never got to the point where, okay, we've stored up enough fuel that we have enough potential for a more durable, sustainable bull market. Even though the rally was immense, I'm not sure that it's going to be sustainable. And the problem is we didn't correct all of the excesses from 2000, and now we have all the excesses built up organically or inorganically from, you know, the post-2009 era. So that's the particular problem that we have in our current circumstance, which makes it even worse than some of the secular bear markets, you know, going back in the past. And we're a big believer in, you know, historical cycles, and that there are some patterns in the market that that aren't subject to change. And one of those rules, and the great Bob Farrell included in one of his, you know, 10 rules for investing, is that markets that go to one extreme always go to the opposite extreme before the cycle is over. They don't go back to the mean necessarily, and then the move is over. So 2009, I think a lot of things went back to the mean. They never corrected to the downside. So I think we're headed in that direction before this secular bear market is over. And if that's the case, then we've barely even begun.
Oh boy. All right, Dana. Hey, it makes sense, right? When you see such excesses go on for so long, it takes a long time to work them off. And we are not even a year into this bear market, maybe just a year, depending on when you want to take it. It could be still a lot of pain here, but it does sound like fairly big, maybe shift in the markets and general mentality of investors. Well, it's still ongoing. So Wow, what an interesting end to the year, at least so far, in this little bit of a counter trend rally for a lot of markets, but maybe it is a metal's turn to shine. Who knows? Only time will tell. Dana, thank you as always for your time. Always interesting hearing what you're seeing in these markets. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.